Welcome to Product Brand Management Chapter 9. Today we'll be discussing brand positioning. The objective of this chapter is to understand brand positioning, the process of developing a positioning statement, and various concepts attached to positioning. Positioning is perhaps one of the most important concepts of brand management in general. Right alongside brand values and brand identity, positioning is one of the most important things one will learn in order to be actually able to develop proper brand communication that will influence the consumers into buying something. Let's look at what positioning can be. Positioning is a game people play in today's Me Too marketplace. That's what Jack Trout says, the father of positioning. Now, what does he really mean, or occupying a slot for the brand in the minds of the consumers through an organized system, or forming a mental impression of the product? What do all these things mean? You see, in today's marketplace, every single product category has so many different products, so many different brands, that quality has become hygiene. No one product can actually afford to have lesser quality or lower level quality than another product or another brand, which means that everything around you becomes more or less commoditized. This creates a huge problem for marketers. If I'm talking about airlines, all airlines provide the same service, and they're commoditized. Basically, you don't really differentiate between one or another low frill airline. So the only differentiation there is you're either low frill or full service. Even in full service, all you get is an extra meal. That is pretty much it. But if you go to e-commerce, for instance, there's hardly any difference between a Flipkart and an Amazon and a Snapdeal. The products are similar, the choices are similar, the costs are similar. You look at cell phones, at every single level there are cell phones that provide the absolute same features. In fact, even the same operating system, just maybe different overlays. There's barely any differentiation in a lot of the products and services that we use today. Ticketing sites, they're all the same. Cinema ticketing sites, they're all the same. Cinema halls, unless you're actually going for a multiplex versus a single screen theater, you won't really see the difference between what the quality is between one cinema hall and another. So what I'm trying to say here is that products and services have become commoditized, which means one product is just as good as the other. One milk carton is just as good as the other milk carton, and Nestle is just as good as Amul, is just as good as Mother Dairy. Now, in such a market, how do you really build preference for one brand? You build preference by being able to position your brand in a unique way in the minds of the consumer. Occupying a slot for the brand in the minds of the consumer through an organized system is actually the most important thing that we ever do in branding. Other definitions of positioning. You represent the brand's place in the market. It's what you do to the prospect's mind to condition how he thinks about the product, and creating something new and different, but about manipulating what's already in your mind. It's what you do to get hard. It's a tool to cope with information overload. It's a cumulative concept that requires consistency to be successful. Now, all these definitions are fine and all of these are correct. But what you really have to understand is that positioning is about occupying one point in the minds of the consumer to ensure that when the consumer is thinking about a certain product category, your brand is what comes to their minds. And your brand occupies a unique space which no one else can occupy. For example, when I say, which is the safest car in the world? The first response that comes to a lot of people's minds is Volvo. Volvo is known all over the world for its safety features. Now, a lot of cars have great safety features. Volkswagens have great safety features. Hondas have great safety features. But that is all right. Only Volvo is positioned in the minds of consumers worldwide as one of the safest cars in the world. Safety is their primary association, and that is their positioning as well. They position themselves as safe vehicles. That is the importance of positioning. Minds are limited. My brain has only limited capacity. I have selective exposure, selective attention, and selective retention. My mind hates confusion. My mind doesn't change. If I set my mind on something, it will not change. If I make up my mind about a certain brand saying this is not good or this is good, this is not likely to change either. Minds can lose focus. Minds are insecure. We have monetary risks, we have functional risks, we have physical risks, we have social and psychological risks. all these risks come together to ensure that there is very little attention that one person's brain can actually pay to a product category or to a brand. And the whole game of branding is to ensure that in such a muddled mind, one is still able to occupy one space, one unique space that no other brand can occupy. And that is about positioning. There are various strategies used for positioning. Positioning using customer benefit or product characteristics. This is the most intuitive way of positioning. You say what is the customer benefit and you position your product accordingly. You can position by price or quality. For example, you can say sabse sasta, or the cheapest available, or the cheapest product available. Or you can say, or you can position it by quality, saying I'm the best quality of product available. You can position it by use or application. That will typically happen when there aren't too many other players in the market. For example, if you're a first mover and it's only you within the product categories, yours is the only brand available, then you can actually position it by use. So for instance, if for a number of years Air India and Indian Airlines were the only airlines operating in India. So if you had to fly from one place to another, you would use within India, you would use Indian Airlines. And Indian Airlines, therefore, could just say, we fly you to, from one place to another. And that could be still an effective positioning. The same positioning does not work in today's world because there are a number of airlines giving you the same function. So today, you have to actually position it using something else. Positioning by product user. You can actually position, for example, Harley-Davidson positions itself using the users that actually use a Harley-Davidson. Positioning by product class, positioning by cultural symbols, positioning by competitors. Positioning by competitors is an interesting concept that a lot of people use. What they say is, they don't say that my product is great. They just say the competition's product is not that great. The competition's product is bad. So instead of positioning themselves, they reposition the competition. And that's a very popular positioning strategy. The question is, how do you arrive at a positioning? First step is, you spot the competitors. Then you decode how the competitors are perceived and evaluated. What do different people, what do our consumers within our product category, what do consumers of our products actually think about the consumers? What do they perceive about the consumers? How do they evaluate evaluate competitors? Then you have to assess the competitor's position. You actually have to make a grid in which you say, this competitor owns this position, this competitor owns this position. You analyze the customers, you actually take your market, you look at their demographics, you look at their psychographics, and you say these customers would react in certain ways to these positions that we have analyzed in the grid that I just mentioned. You pick the position and then you monitor it. So within that grid, you've now analyzed the customers, you've analyzed all your competitors, and now you know that this space is still empty. There is one space which I can use to position my product in, and which is where you take your product and you position it. Then you actually monitor the position. But to be able to arrive at a good position, you have to do what we call benefit laddering. Let's look at that. A benefit ladder, so this is a basic benefit ladder for eating lesser, for a diet. So look at that. The benefit ladder is divided into values, consequences, and attributes. A value of appreciation, a consequence of better physique, the consequence of will be healthy, another consequence, I will not suffer from diabetes. An attribute, it has less sugar. An attribute, less sweet cookies. So all these things together actually ladder one over another, actually sit one on top of the other and ladder the benefit from top to bottom, giving you a large benefit, and that you can then analyze. So how do you analyze benefit laddering data? You summarize the key elements by standard content analysis procedures. You take care while analyzing the levels of abstraction. So we looked at attributes, consequences, and values, the ACV levels. We take care while analyzing the levels of abstraction of ACV. We construct a summary table representing the number of connections between these elements. We represent dominant connections using a tree diagram, which we call a hierarchical value map, or an HVM. Based on the consequences and values, we create an appropriate positioning. Now, there are times in life, there are times in the lifespan of a brand when you have to reposition the brand, when your current positioning is not working anymore. And that is a natural part of brand progression. some brands reposition as they evolve. So for example, Maruti is trying to reposition itself as a car maker across segments of car, across different segments of cars. And an important part, important way in which it's doing it is, it has opened these new showrooms that they call Nexa. Now, Nexa showrooms are only supposed to be for higher-end Maruti cars. And the problem was, for example, Maruti earlier brought out a car called Kizashi. Kizashi was a C-segment car, it was a good sedan, it was a premium car. It was a great quality car, but it did not work. People were not willing to pay enough money to be able to buy a Maruti car that was considered luxury. On the other hand, now Maruti has launched more new cars which are in the same category as a Kizashi was earlier, but now they've been more careful. Instead of going on with the Maruti positioning of economy and value and middle class cars, they've started a completely new showroom called Nexa, a whole chain of showrooms where they only place the higher end cars and they do not have any connection with the lower end cars produced by Maruti. This is how they've tried to reposition one part of the business in order to evolve. At times, repositioning when market growth occurs in a segment which is different from the one in which the respective brand is positioned. So this was about positioning. Let us try and summarize the session. Positioning is about occupying a slot for the brand in the minds of the consumers. It's a tool to cope with the information overload, cumulative concept that requires consistency to be successful. If you positioned your brand as something in somebody's mind, as in a consumer's mind, but if your product is not consistently delivering on that positioning, then eventually your product is still going to fail. Therefore, positioning as a concept requires consistency to be successful. Positioning strategies, using consumer benefits, using price and quality, using by user application, user, product class, cultural symbols, or competitor. We looked at benefit laddering, we looked at analysis of laddering data, and we looked at repositioning. Thank you.